Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Live on history.fm and liveparanormal.com radio. This is Exploring Mysteries, Histories, and the Paranormal with Dr. John. This is John DeSalvo, your guide for the next 60 minutes, and I want to thank you for being with us tonight. What is an ancient crystal skull, and who made them? Do they contain encoded information about our past and future? Did aliens leave them as a communications device? We'll be exploring these questions and many more tonight. But first, I want to mention that our scheduled guest tonight, Joe Polalella, one of the 20 Secret Service men still living who guarded JFK in Dallas when he was shot, will be on in 2 weeks, September 16th. And I also want to remind you to please visit our radio archives at drjohnradio.com. That's DrJohn. radio.com, and there you can download past programs for free, see our upcoming guests, and information about them. So now tonight, I'll be discussing my ancient crystal skull research, and later I'll be joined by Becky Andreasen. And if you recall, Becky was my first guest on this show, and she is the daughter of Betty Andreasen, the most famous and most studied abductee of all times. Now, Becky has done psychometry on my ancient crystal skull, and will tell us what she discovered after I go over the scientific testing. Becky, by the way, is one of the most gifted psychometrists in the world, and I've worked with her for several years doing archaeological psychometry. But first, I want to bring on Gary Beckman, who was putting on the Edge Life Expo in Minneapolis on the weekend of November 19th and 20th. This is one of the largest holistic expos in the Twin Cities area, and Gary has been hosting this exhibit annually for over 10 years. It'll be at the Hyatt Regency Hotel this year, and you can get more information about this fantastic expo at edgelife.net. That's EDGELIFE.net. I'll be one of the featured speakers at this expo and be giving two talks, one on how to meditate with Enochian magic and how to meditate with crystals and crystal skulls, our topic tonight. So I thought it'd be appropriate to bring Gary on for a few minutes to tell us about this expo. So, Gary, welcome to the program, my friend.
Thanks, Dr. John. It's really a pleasure to be with you, sir.
Well, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you run these incredible expos all over the place, all over the country, and you're a busy man. But, you know, maybe you could start off, Gary, by describing what this expo is for listeners maybe who have never heard about it and who may want to consider coming to it.
Yeah. Well, thanks, John. Is that this is our 11th year in Minneapolis, and we have the one in Minneapolis, we have one in Fargo, we have one in Des Moines, Iowa. Different times a year we have speakers come in, but this one coming up November 19th, 20th at the downtown Hyatt Regency is that we offer 125 exhibitors, John.
Wow.
There's 12 intuitive readers, and that's everything from specialty, and our exhibitors offer specialty products, spiritual resources, and solutions to the present day. And there's been a whole lot of stuff said about 2012, and many of the speakers and the exhibitors are going to touch on that during the weekend. Our times, John, also are on Saturday from 10 to 6 and Sunday from 10 to 5. But again, I looked over this. This is absolutely the best show that I have put together in 5 or 6 years. And I'll give you a couple of examples, John.
Sure.
One is that you are going to present your skull. And also your other, not your personal one, but your artifacts.
I was going to say, I'll be presenting my skull just by being there, but you
by that, that's
my
right.
ancient crystal skull.
But the beauty, I do not believe that that's ever been shown in the upper Midwest, has it, publicly, John?
No, and here's the other thing. Many of the well-known ancient crystal skulls, which we'll be talking about, the owners or caretakers charge money to be present with the skull, which I have a problem with, but that's up to them. I'm not, but my skull will be there for all to see. I'll be keeping it in, I'll have an exhibit booth and people can come by and look at it. So, I think this is the first time it will actually ever be on public display.
And I'm taking this from memory. So any of you that want to come in, fly in, John is in booth 616. So there's a good number.
See, I didn't know that. That sounds. I'm glad it's not 666.
No. 616. That breaks it up. Now, here's just a few of the highlights. There's a great deal, and I do not want to rush it. But like you mentioned, you can go to edgelife.net, and everything is laid out there. And I'll give you my personal number too, if you have any further questions, and that's 888-776-7616. Now, let's get into it. We lead our show off with a Native American drumming ceremony. And it's a group called Thunder Nation. They're part of the Ojibwe, and they also close it. It's all ages from very young, 10 years old, up to 65, 75. So it's really, it's a group, and they're unbelievable. Also, for the very first time, we're going to have a premiere for Minneapolis, and that's called Serotonin Rising. And the producer and director, Tony Perry, is going to be there to introduce the film, and Q&A is what they say in this business, but a question and answer period. And that's free if you buy an admission ticket to the hall, which is only from $5 if there's two or more, to $9.
What was the name of them?
Serotonin Rising.
Oh, I'm glad they didn't call themselves 5-hydroxytryptophan. I think that was the scientific name for serotonin.
Is it really?
I don't know. I used to teach biochemistry eons ago. Maybe that's for LSD. I don't remember, but I'm trying to keep it straight. I'm sorry. I don't mean kidding with you, but it's just this really sounds exciting. By the way, I'm just. By the way, talking about Native American, I'll be having on display at my booth some Native American artifacts, some 1,000 years old, and a Native American Vision Quest pipe that Wesley Black Elk gave me, the great grandson of Nicholas Black Elk of the famous book Black Elk Speak. So my booth display will be consistent with the theme of the opening and closing of your expo.
That's just great. That's what I mentioned. This is absolutely, in the last 5 or 6 years, they all are good, but everything is coming together. You just gave a prime. It's called synchronicity, John.
Right.
All of a sudden, things happen.
You know, Gary, I hate to cut you short, but I have a lot tonight. I'm going to have Becky on. Is there maybe taking like another minute and maybe anything else you want to mention and maybe how to get tickets, et cetera?
Yep. Sure. If you desire tickets, please go to www.edgelife.net and then you come into the page and click on Minneapolis show and you go to speakers. You save a great deal of money if you buy them online. Also, I have a gold card, which is really, really extremely priced very well. Here's something for the people that would come in from out of town. The Hyatt Regency is not a 5-star, it's a premium. I've got special rates there for $129 for one person up to 5. Also, Sunny Don Johnson is going to be there. She's a nationally known speaker. And something we have never done, it's never been done in Minneapolis, to my knowledge, and that is The New Dawn, The Children of the New Dawn. My wife, Intia Beckman, lovely lady, Shanda Parkinson, and Sunny Dawn are going to talk with parents of gifted children. All children are gifted, but these are children, you've heard of the indigo, the crystal children, and this is really going to be a hideaway. Huge bookstore, John.
Oh,
we've got
that's
20
my
speakers
favorite.
Coming in.
That's my
Pardon
favorite.
Me?
That books are my favorite, so this is going to be great. But, yeah. You know, Gary, I want to thank you again for coming on tonight and brief giving us an update. I'm going to have you on again just before the expo and for any further updates. And I guess keep in touch, and we'll have you on again before the expo, Gary.
Sure. If they missed that telephone number, want to talk, it's 888-776-7616, or my email is Gary, G-A-R-Y, at edgelife.com. Net. Thank
Great.
You, John.
Well, no, thank you, Gary. And let me tell you, anything Gary puts on is always top-notch and A++. So thank you, Gary.
Thank
and,
you, my friend.
I'm really looking forward to this also. We'll keep in touch, my friend. Have a good evening, Gary.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye-bye now. Well, that was great. I hope some of you listeners do attend it and I can get to meet you in person. The other day, I met someone who said they heard me on the radio, and they said, I look the way I speak. I don't know if that was a compliment or an insult, but, you know, maybe if you get a chance to meet me, you can give me your take on that. So anyway, tonight I did want to talk about my ancient crystal skull and the research with it, and bring on Becky a little later to talk about her psychometry on the skull. But, you know, today everyone talks about meditating with crystals. Quartz crystals we're talking about. Quartz crystals are actually silicon dioxide, composed of silicon, one molecule of silicon and two of oxygen. And you may ask the question, what's so special about quartz? Why is it considered the most important metaphysical or psychic gem of any rock or mineral? And a couple hints. One is, if you look at quartz crystals, the crystal lattice is really beautiful and intricate. It almost lifts you up into another dimension. So even scientifically, it exhibits an incredible crystal lattice structure. It also has a unique property that none of the other minerals have, is that if you put pressure on a quartz crystal, you squeeze it, let's say, it'll develop an electrical potential, like a voltage, like a battery between its ends. Now, why this is important is the opposite is true. If you apply an electrical potential, like hook up a battery to the quartz crystal, it will vibrate at an exact frequency, a very high frequency. So this property of quartz crystals is known as piezo or piezoelectric effect. And that's why crystals are used in timekeeping devices and electronics and in communications and data storage, in fact, computers. And so the question is, we know crystals can store information, but is it possible it's storing information from the past or ancient cultures, or even an alien culture that eons ago wanted to leave us information for the future? Now, again, we can't prove this scientifically, because if that's the case, no one has been able to prove how to extract this information. But many psychics have indicated that, yes, crystals hold information since they were created. And the other interesting thing is, whoever fashioned quartz crystals into skulls, thus crystal skulls, were they trying to tell us that crystals communicate with the brain? Because we look at the skull, we know it houses the brain. Who knows? But, you know, it wasn't fashioned into the shape of a hand or a foot. I mean, you probably could make crystal in those shapes. But so I think quartz crystal, especially crystal skulls, could store information from our past. Maybe it has information for our future. We really don't know. But these are questions to ponder and to really consider the purpose of crystal. Does it have a spiritual purpose? Does it have an essential role in our future? 2012 is coming up. There's always talk about crystal skulls coming together. Many ancient skulls seem to be coming to the surface. Mine was one of them. So what I want to do now, I gave you a little background on quartz and why I think it's important and why crystal skulls are important. Now, there are many modern crystal skulls, meaning they're carved within the last 100 years. But we're interested in the ancient crystal skulls. These are crystal skulls that were carved thousands or ten thousands of years ago. Now, we can't date the quartz crystal, the silicon dioxide. If we could, it would only tell us that the quartz was formed about 100 million years ago in the interior of the Earth. So that doesn't tell us anything. But what we want to know is, when was the quartz carved into a shape of a human skull? The date of its carving gives us the date of when it was produced and maybe information put into it. Who knows? And that's a difficult question, because how do you date a sculpture or a carving? You really can't. But as a scientist, there's certain things you can do. You can rule out that it's a modern production. And how do you do that? Well, you can look at it under the scanning electron microscope and other electronic devices and see how it was carved. If it looked like it was carved using a laser or an ion probe or even a rotary wheel, you can conclude that it was probably a modern production. If you find that it was polished using modern abrasives, which you can identify, then obviously it's not a modern quartz. One of the well-known ancient crystal skulls was produced fake because modern abrasives were found on it. So there are many tests you can do, and if you can rule out that it was produced by a modern technique, then the question is still open, is it an ancient crystal skull? Now, it's possible a modern forger used primitive techniques to carve it. And that's where kind of there's a standstill on how far you can go. And that's why I bring in psychometry, where, again, you have someone hold an object and they can tell something about the object, who owned it, where it was. As you know, many times law enforcement agencies use psychometrists to help find missing people. The psychometrist holds a garment or a ring or some possession that the missing person owned, and they many times can give the law enforcement officers some hints on where they may be. You have to be good. There are very few really good psychometrists. When we've been Becky on, she's one of the best I've ever worked with, and also Helene Olson, who's been on this program before. They're both fantastic psychometrists. I'd say in the 90% accuracy. I know that's a very high number, but that's what my statistics have shown. I want to mention about briefly, there are always been about a half dozen well-known or famous crystal skulls. And one of those is the Mitchell Hedges crystal skull, probably the most famous. And I'm not going to, you know, get into the details of describing the different crystal skulls, but there's also the Mayan crystal skull. There was a crystal skull known as Shannara, which was owned by the late Nick Nocerino, who was my mentor and responsible for me making the connections to obtain my crystal skull. And then there's Max, which is currently owned by Joanne Parks. And in fact, Joanne is a very good friend, and she wrote the foreword to my new book coming out on crystals and crystal skulls called Power Crystals. And if you go to our website at drjohnradio.com, you can get information about that. But there's been about five or six well-known. The British Museum skull and the Smithsonian skull were also candidates for being ancient, but because of the scientific testing that I mentioned, they were shown to be modern productions. Now, lately, tons of crystal skulls in the last 5 or 10 years have surfaced. Everyone claims to own an ancient crystal skull. And the question is, you know, how do you prove it? And you really can't, as I mentioned. So what I want to do is tell you a little bit about my crystal skull and the research I did on it, and also to let you know that the British Museum tested crystal skulls back decades ago, and they're the ones that ruled out that the British Museum and the Smithsonian skull were fakes. Now, the scientific tests they did were very inferior to the scientific tests I did on my crystal skull. And when I get to the studies, I'm going to explain that my crystal skull, my Himalayan ancient crystal skull, has been subjected to the most scientific, rigorous testing than any crystal skull in the history of the world, as far as I know. I mean, it's possible somebody else has one and subjected it to the same type of test as mine, but I've never heard of it. So my tests have been subjected to scanning electron microscope studies energy dispersal spectroscopy, digital microscopy, and I'll be telling you about those studies. Again, and we're able to look at my crystal skull directly under the electron microscope because it was a smaller size, whereas the British Museum studies, they had to make molds or impressions of the skulls and look at it. But I was able to look at mine in real time and scan it, and that's very, very important. I got interested in crystal skulls around 2001. That's when I first started hearing about them. I read a book by Nick Nocerino, and to make a long story short, I got in touch with Nick Nocerino, who was the king and master of crystal skulls. He was the world's expert. Nick passed away in 2004. I contacted Nick, and quickly we became the best of friends, and he was like a mentor to me, almost like an uncle, I think because we both were Italian. But he put me in touch with a Frank Liu who was visiting his home at the time, who was from China, Hong Kong. And Frank was interested in me carrying out some scientific studies on these ancient crystal skulls. And it appeared that there was a group of small crystal skulls, about eight of them, that were from the Tibetan Himalayan area. We really don't have an exact provenance on them, except that, you know, they were discovered. I think the story is they may have been in a cave. We don't know for sure. And Frank arranged to send me one of these Himalayan crystal skulls, which I got. When I received it at the time, I sent it to Nick to look at. But Nick was at that time getting ill and went into the hospital and never had a chance to really study it. I forgot all about it. I wasn't interested because I was writing my book on the pyramids for Barnes & Noble, and I think I just got too busy, and I forgot about it. And fortunately, Nick's wonderful wife, Chris, thought that I may want the crystal skull someday and kept it in her sewing room for the next 8 years. And we kept in touch and never brought it up. And then, about a year ago in one of our phone conversations, Chris mentioned, I still have your crystal skull. Would you like it? And I said, sure. Go ahead and send it to me, which she did. And then I thought, well, now I have this crystal skull back. I have some time. Why don't I do the studies that I always wanted to do? So, being a former college professor, I had some connections, and I looked up the different labs that could do the studies that I want, and I found out about 3 hours from where I lived, the University of Minnesota at Duluth had a wonderful scanning electron microscope lab, and I contacted the director and made an appointment and brought my my crystal skull up. And by the way, I do have a picture of the crystal skull on the radio archives at the drjohnradio.com, so you can go to that site, and under tonight's program, you can see a couple pictures of the crystal skull. So we put the crystal skull in the electron microscope vacuum chamber and started looking at it. And it was amazing to be able to scan it in real time. If we looked, like, say, in the eye sockets and saw some type of carving or some marking that we wanted to look at, we could increase the magnification. We could scan just about any way where we wanted. And we spent a lot of time taking electron micrographs of the skull, the eyes, the nose, the teeth, smooth areas, to try to get an idea how it may have been produced. The other technique we had, which is very interesting, is called the energy dispersive spectroscopy. Now, the British Museum could not use this test because they couldn't look at their skulls directly. Remember, they had to look at impressions or molds. But let's say we're scanning the surface of the skull or an eye socket, and we see something that looks interesting. We hit it with this energy beam, and it prints out on a graph on another computer screen every element present in that area. It gives us a complete chemical analysis. That is fantastic, because not only do we look at the features that are carved, but we can tell if any elements are on that skull. Now, what was interesting is the skull was covered with like a red spotted dye. It was hard, who knew what it was? Some archaeologists thought it could have been iron oxide pigmentation, like a patina, because old and ancient crystals sometimes develop iron oxide patina. It could have been cinnabar, one expert said, because the ancient Chinese used cinnabar as a red pigment to paint skulls. And maybe it was painted red, and that was a remnant of the cinnabar, which bothered me a little, because cinnabar is very toxic because it contains mercury, and I didn't want to be holding a skull that was toxic. I asked my very good friend, Professor Bob Breyer, who's the famous mummy expert, who I'm sure you've seen on the History Channel, and he's been in probably every tomb in Egypt and all over, how dangerous it would be. And he didn't think it was very dangerous if it was cinnabar, because it was very old and probably oxidized. But I still wanted to make sure. I checked with the Oriental Museum. But the acid test was, now we had the skull under the microscope, and we hit it with an energy dispersive spectroscopy. And guess what? It was no iron in it, so there was no iron oxide in that red pigment, and there was no mercury. So what is this? And it wouldn't be blood either, because you would have a spectrum for that. What is this red pigment that's covering this ancient crystal skull? It was a mystery. But we were able to decide it was of a low molecular weight, which we couldn't determine its composition. And I did some other research. And the director thinks it could have been some kind of organic covering. Who knows what? But another person many, many years ago who owned one of these small Himalayan skulls with a similar red spotting had it tested at the University of Utah. And that was a Gary Butler. He was the first one to really do a scientific test. And they discovered it was, believe it or not, a tree resin, that it was coated with an organic tree resin. Now, why would somebody coat a crystal skull with tree resin? And I found out that there was a legend that the ancient Chinese, for very important spiritual objects that had a lot of energy, if they were going to bury them for the future, they would coat them with a tree resin to keep in the energy. For some reason, the tree resin spiritually held in the energy. So I thought that was very interesting. It gave us some insight that this crystal skull may be an authentic ancient crystal skull. So we did the studies, and we could not determine any modern tooling or technique done to carve it. Any carving areas looked like it was a primitive carving technique. There was no evidence of lasers, ion probes, rotary wheels, modern abrasives. So we could rule out that modern technology or equipment was used to carve the skull. Again, it doesn't prove it's ancient, but it's the first step in showing that it may be an ancient crystal skull. I wasn't happy just with that. I sent the scanning electron microscope study results and micrographs to 4 or 5 directors of scanning electron microscope labs at top major universities in Canada and the U.S. and asked them, what do they think? What was their conclusion on this data? That's what real science is. You do a test, you get the data, you analyze it, you have peer review, and you have other scientists, you know, give their take on it, and then you put the data together. Well, it was very interesting. The common conclusion that almost most of these electron microscope experts and geologists said was that the skull surface looked like it was produced by some slow oxidation, maybe like a slow acid oxidation. Now, what could that mean? What could produce a slow acid oxidation? And one possibility is it could have been buried in the ground for hundreds or thousands of years, and humeric acid, which is the acid in the soil, could slowly have etched the skull, and it would look like a slow oxidation process. Running water over a long, long period of time could produce that effect. It wasn't a strong acid like hydrofluoric acid, but it was a very, very slow oxidation process. So, again, this could be consistent that the skull was buried in the ground or in a cave for thousands of years, and it slowly oxidized. Now, the eye sockets, the base of the eye sockets, did not have any acid oxidation. And my theory is that maybe the eyes had gems or minerals in it, or was even painted, and that protected from being oxidized. And maybe it later fell out or when whoever discovered them maybe took the jewels and left the skulls for us to discover. But so far, the evidence sounded really good. And again, I have to make it clear, we cannot prove that the skull is an ancient crystal skull, but I think we have good evidence that we can rule out that it was produced using any type of modern technology. Well, where did I go from here? That was about, I think, as far as science could take it. Again, this skull has been subjected to more scientific tests than any skull, any crystal skull in the history of the world, and it still came out with flying colors that there were no evidence of being a modern forgery. Now, being interested and obviously researching psychic phenomena and paranormal for over 30 years of my life and working with psychometrists, it was natural for me to ask Becky and Helene for their take on the crystal skull. And I had them do it independently. And what I'd like to do is bring Becky on now, and maybe Becky can explain what her psychic impressions were of the crystal skull when I first had her look at it. So, hello, Becky, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm glad I didn't disconnect you.
Okay, you did good.
Yeah, well, listen, thank you again for taking the time to come on tonight. And I know after your first appearance on my first show, I can't tell you the number of emails and requests I got to have you back on. So I thought this would be
that's so nice.
Yeah, people loved you. This would be a perfect show. So maybe I could ask you to, what were your impressions when you first looked at this ancient Himalayan skull that I asked you to do psychometry on?
Yes. Well, first, a little bit about me with the psychometry. What I actually do is I feel vibrations from things which come from memories that are in items or in different things. That's what I receive, the vibration of it. So I can tell you, you know, through my experience, if something is really old, if it was super special to somebody, sometimes even what it was used for, different things like that. It comes from the vibration of the memory that is within the item. And that's what I gather and what I feel to give out the information on different items or pieces. And with your crystal skull, right away, first I told you right away, it's very, very old. I could immediately feel that from the vibration. And then I had told you there is specific information because quartz holds memory. It holds memory. A little bit about quartz also, like what you were speaking on, is the silicon and the oxygen are the two most abundant elements of the Earth's crust. And that's the formation of quartz, where it comes from, the formation of quartz. And silicone, to me, is the matter, and oxygen is the spirit, and creating quartz, which holds earth memory. And then when it is pulled from the earth and carved or used in a certain way, it is also gathering more memory. And from that point on is where it gives a little bit different vibration. And that's where I pick up the feelings of this vibration and give you information. Then there's certain points on items that have a funny little different form of a vibration. That's how I could tell you there is memory or information within the eye and within the mouth area. And I told you that right off the bat. Remember?
Right, exactly. Yep.
And I told you too, you could feel that it was really ancient and old. It has been out and around for a long, long time. And like I said, there's memory within it. So, you know, someone using it psychically could withdraw that memory from it because it holds it. It's holding it within it.
Did you feel alien energy from it also?
I felt a knowledge of, you see, you understand what I'm saying? A knowledge of, whether it was from alien dealing with it or people dealing with it that were dealing with aliens.
Okay, you know, the reason I asked is because, you know, Helene, again, independent of you, also said very similar things, but she also said the energy was really like a strange type of energy coming from the crystal skulls, not the normal kind that she feels. Now, whether it was alien or a different dimension, she couldn't say, but I was wondering, does that kind of describe it? It's like a different kind of energy that you would normally pick up on an object?
Yes, like it wants you to understand and know something. It was placed there for a reason.
What about
the information?
Why do you think the eyes?
That was the first thing that hit. As soon as I felt the age of it, really old, then it was the eye. I mean, it's just like pinpoint straight at me. It was the eye. And then the side of the mouth. Remember I told you the side of the mouth?
Exactly.
And there was, right, there's absolute memory information inserted into that. And, of course, you know, quartz is a very psychic gem. It always has been, always will be. And I even look at quartz as, you know, the veins of the earth that pulse. And when it comes out and it's created and carved into something, the psychic energy or thought or memory can be placed within the quartz and for another to draw out. And it also, quartz also enhances other gems. If it was used with other gems, like you said, there could have been other gems in the eyes, and that it enhances it.
Wow. You know, I was going to mention, too, I forgot to give out the number at the beginning, but if any listeners want to call in for questions for either me or Becky, it's 619-639-4606. That's 619-639-4606. And I'm hoping we can take some calls tonight. I always get so busy with the guests because you only have 1 hour and there's just so much to cover. But you know, see, this what's interesting, Becky, is what you said and what Helene said independently, again, was like 90% similar. And statistically, that is extremely high. And therefore, you know, I think this is the best scientific approach we could have to psychometry.
Yes. And the difference that she was probably feeling and I'm feeling is that this information is like a little library or information that was set into it to understand by someone, you know, that it would be drawn out from it. That's the difference. Instead of using a piece of quartz, you know, to heal or to do a certain work with, like a tool, this was actually almost like a little mini library, you know, like you put things in the brain, you know, for you to speak out and tell someone about. It's kind of like that. That's,
well, you got me scared because if this is like a library, boy, can you imagine what my late fee is going to be?
Yeah, you're in trouble.
10,000 years, boy, I'm going to be broke. But the other thing she said, I had to say that. The other thing that Helene said, which I thought was fascinating, exactly what you said, she also said it was a powerful transmitter. And I think you mentioned that too. Now, what do you think it could be? Could it be a transmitter to an alien culture, to another dimension, to the ancient past? Any idea?
Well, I think quartz in the first place is a transmitter. You know, it's an actual gem that is a transmitter. So that would be a perfect gem to place memory or knowledge in. I mean, it's perfect. And what you would probably look for is a person with a psychic ability that could draw it out from it, you know, to understand what is gathered in it. Quartz is well known in ancient times for that very purpose.
You know, it's interesting because I always say if some object has really strong energy, I usually can pick it up. You know, obviously not as good as you two, but I can pick something up if it's really overpowering. And when I first got the crystal skull back, all my crystal skull friends said, ask the skull to tell you its name. I said, yeah, sure, it's going to tell me its name. So I had it in the bedroom, and a couple nights as I was going to sleep, I got the name Happy. And I thought, well, it's a stupid name for a crystal skull. And I said, it's probably my subconscious, because if you look at the picture of the skull, again, which I have on our site, it looks like it's smiling. So I just dismissed it. And the name kept coming. And I just said, forget it. And finally, I was talking to another friend of mine, Linda Frisk in New Jersey, who is actually owns an ancient crystal skull and is very psychic, and she actually independently picked up the name Happy, H-A-P-I, which was one of, I think, the Egyptian goddesses of the Nile, which was my Egyptian connection. And I thought, oh, my God, I really was hearing Happy, but not H-A-P-P-Y, H-A-P-I. So I named the skull Happy. So, I don't know if I got it correctly, but I thought that was an interesting independent verification again.
That's really something. That's it. I would say that's really something, like Happy or Happy. Yeah, I like that.
Well, the other
thing really great, and you received your confirmation on it.
Yeah, exactly. The other funny thing, though, I played around with it with a center of gravity and lights, and it does seem to reflect lights throughout it in different ways and out through the eyes. So whoever made the skull knew what they were doing. It looks really old and beat up, as you can tell from the pictures, and it's coded. So,
And remember when you spoke to me about the coating on the outside, what that was, I remember I told you it had to do with wood.
Oh, what was that?
Remember I had told you it had to do with wood? I told you I felt that someone had placed it in a special type of wood or tree. For a long period of time.
That's right. Oh, but this was a while ago. And then I think that was way before I discovered the resonant.
Yes, because you had told me afterwards about that. And I said, I knew it. I could feel that.
You see, I was going to say to the listeners, I used to say about you and Helene, you would do psychometry on an archaeological artifact for me before I did the research, and then I would do the research and it would confirm what you said. So it's not that you guys were reading my subconscious or, you know, you did some it was totally blind that you did this psychometry, and I didn't even know what the answer was. Interesting. Well, they heard it first tonight.
That's right, and I'm not going to read your subconscious. I'll stay right out of there. Only a piece of
that. Oh, thank God.
Oh, boy. It could be a dangerous place.
you know, it's funny you said that because we tend to dwell on the subconscious so much, but there's the superconscious we have, which is a spiritual part, our higher part, and I'm hoping that's what humanity is going towards, so we're going to be controlled more by our super consciousness
what
is the word you use, like a holy guardian angel, right, that we get in contact with?
Yes, but you got to remember, you do not want to separate, because divided you will fall. You don't leave the matter or the physical behind. It has to be a part of all of it also. Remember, balance is perfection. When you bring everything to a balance, that's when the next step up will open. If you leave too much behind, if you go too spiritual or too physical, it doesn't work. It won't work.
You know, that's a good point. We always talk of body, mind, and soul, or body, mind, and spirit.
Right.
Physical,
God
mental,
made all three.
Yeah.
Right. All three.
And that's throughout the theme of all religions and beliefs throughout history, through thousands of years. And I think you're right. When we emphasize one and ignore the other, we get the imbalance, and that's where we have the problem.
Right. That's right. That's right. You want that perfect balance, because then, you know, the universal energy will flow and move and give you what you need and what you need to learn. But if you go too far one side or too far the other side, the balance is lost.
That's true. You know, it was interesting, too, when I as you know, I my book on Enochian magic, and I kind of specialize in teaching Enochian meditation. I simplified it. And Lon Milo Duquette, who's been my kind of mentor and good friend, said to me when I got to Crystal Skull, try doing your Enochian magic or with the Crystal Skull. And I said, I didn't think of that. Really an obvious thing to do. And it was interesting. I did it in a few of the Enochian meditations, and it was pretty powerful, to say the least.
I bet it was.
You know, it really seemed to intensify the different realms, which we call aethers, you know, the 30 aethers that you can explore. So very, very interesting. Again, I'm not as, again, psychic or sensitive as you are, but it still did have an effect on me. I got to one point, though. I just really wasn't getting much from it, and I threw in my storage box downstairs, you know. And supposedly it contacted some of my psychic friends, and they called me and said, hey, your crystal skull is not happy. Get it out of the box.
Oh, my goodness.
True story. So now I got it sitting in my glass display case. So anyway, I hope I didn't abuse the crystal skull too much by throwing it in a box. But, you know.
No, I don't think you have. But remember, it also enhances other gems around it.
You know that's really true, isn't it? It seems like things vibrate, or they resonate. That's what resonance is, when something vibrates.
Yes, the vibration.
Like a tuning fork. You know, you have two tuning forks, the same frequency. You hit one, you put the other one next to it, and the other one will start vibrating. And maybe that's the case, what we're trying to do. We're trying to get our higher consciousness to vibrate at a higher level, and that will affect our whole being to kind of vibrate and move to that level. So that's speculation.
That's true.
Hey, what's the next step, Becky? What should I do with the crystal skull next? Don't say put it back in the box, okay?
Well, you're going to go and show everyone your crystal skull, right?
That's true. That's going to be interesting because it'll be the first time it'll be on display, yeah.
And the people that, you know, hold it and are talking with you could pick up different things and feel it, and I would take notes if I were you.
Oh, that's a good idea because, you know, one thing I've learned, whether it's science or paranormal research, listen to what others say. You got to analyze. You don't obviously accept everybody's feelings, but you want to take good notes and data and see where the correlations are and what they may have come up with that you've missed. And, you know, I've been a teacher
all my life.
Yeah, I always admire, good questions and perceptive thinking. So that's a good point. That'll be fun to see what people say and what people think about it.
Right. And, you know, we all have gifts. So someone may have a little bit different gift, you know, and be able to give you some information from the skull or what they're feeling from it. And you put it all together, and sometimes you can get answers from that.
You know, that's true. You know, the first time I really started to believe the skull was really something psychically or spiritually was last year. You know, Joanne Parks, who is the owner of Max, you know, the Crystal Skull Max, was in my area, and I went to see her. I've never saw Max before, and I spent some time with Max and some time with Joanne, and there were other people at this home obviously coming to see Max and Joanne, and Joanne told me to make sure I brought Happy with me because she wanted to see it, and so I brought it there, and I just took it out to show Joanne, and other people around said, oh, can I see it? And people didn't want to give it back to me. And almost everyone said it had strong healing abilities. And they passed it around and they held it. And others said it had strong energy. And I started to realize there may be something more here than I really, really believed. So I thought that was interesting.
That is. And I'm sure, you know, again, it amplifies another gem next to it. So I bet if they were both side by side or close to each other, it's like a family reunion.
You know,
I actually
did put them together.
Well, look at that. Can you imagine the charge that got?
Well, you know, it was funny, too, because when I first went up to Max, I asked Joanne if I could, touch it. You know, I want to respect people's property.
Uh-huh.
And that just, I don't know if this is a true story now, but the Mitchell Hedges crystal skull was dropped. Somebody went to hold it, and it was a famous movie star. I don't want to mention his name because it may not be true, but I heard it. Like, I'm pretty much 95% sure it's accurate, but there was a famous movie star that asked Anna Mitchell Hedges if he could hold it, and he did, and he dropped it, and there's a crack in it because of that. So I asked her if I could, she won't let people pick up Max, but to touch Max. So I just went up to Max and put my hands on him. And I got actually a shock and jumped backwards. Now, crystal can produce, as you know, piezoelectric charges. But
yes, they can.
It's not going to be that strong because it will be diffused over the
two
surface.
Two or more. Oh, my gosh. You had your skull there, too. And I told you it amplifies the energy.
Well, I mean, I think it's more than physical energy. I think it was some spiritual
energy. Oh, yeah.
Energy.
Well, That's right. That's right. Physical and spiritual.
Joanne kind of looked at me like, what happened to you? I just kind of jumped back. But I thought that was nice. It wasn't a placebo effect. I didn't expect anything. So then I meditated with Max, and I put Happy next to Max. And it was interesting. So it was a nice experience for me. And I started to realize the importance of this crystal skull. So another thing, too, I hope any listeners will go to the – there's also – I have more pictures, I think, at GizaPyramid.com. But please look at the crystal skull and tell me if you have any impressions. I'm always interested in hearing from other people that may be psychic or may pick up something that will help us in our research. I think that, again, as I mentioned, always important. So, you know, we're getting towards I got about a minute left here, Becky. God, time went so quickly. I can't believe it. It felt like this whole show was for like 10 minutes. Man.
Oh, my goodness. It's nice, though. And I want to say hi to everyone out there.
Well, you know what? I'm sure I'll get another ton of emails saying you better get Becky on again because
Are you going to talk about next?
Oh, God. We have so many things we have common interests. We've got to get you back.
Tell
on
your
the next
story
show.
About the pendulum.
Yeah, I don't have time. I got about a minute left.
Oh, gracious.
maybe the next show at the beginning, if I have a few minutes, I'll talk about. But I've been experimenting with the pendulum, and it's been blowing my mind away, the psychic pendulum, like dowsing. But I'll keep your listeners in suspense. Maybe. How about next week, the first couple minutes of the show, I'll talk about that and then bring my guest on. Maybe I'll do that.
There you go.
Well, any what's just before we end, what's new in your life? Anything coming up?
Oh, gee, there's always something going on here. Just recently we had in the newspaper the cigar-shaped UFOs that were overhead here, and they went over my house, and they went over Mom and Bob's house, and we've had things going on here, so it's exciting.
Wow. We're going to have Bob on again back sometime, too, to talk about some of his strange events with black helicopters and ghost hunting and just the orbs. I know you've had a lot of orbs going on.
Oh, gee, yes. I mean, unusual orbs, even with crosses in them.
Oh, I know. Well, listen, Becky, let me say goodnight to you, and thanks a million for taking time out on your Friday night on a Labor Day weekend to come on this show. I really appreciate it. Give my best to your family, and we'll get you on again soon, Becky. Thank you.
I will. Goodbye. Goodbye to all.
Take care. And that was Becky Andreasen, our special guest for tonight, and I want to thank Gary Beckman for also coming on and telling us about the Edge Life Convention, and a special thanks to the owner, Rob Zierak, who is doing a wonderful job here on liveparanormal.com and history.fm by bringing these wonderful programs to all sincere spiritual seekers all over the world. So please support liveparanormal.com, and I want to thank Carla at Master Control and classicalindia.com for permission to use their music throughout the show. But most especially you, the listeners, for joining us tonight and making this show possible. And I hope you join us again next week for another special guest. And until next week, good night, and may God be with you.